man, every time I'm like headbanging, so my neck, now I need to go to the chiropractor. So thanks a lot, Chip, for fixing me up with some metal music there. All right, man, this is the...
Did we lose Rob already?
Yeah, I think we already lost him. So, folks, this is Mark Delaney Coo Wheeler stepping in for Rob, a bad, bad cast, who apparently has some technical difficulties at this time. So what's going on, folks? I usually don't do this. This is a bad, bad cast live. You are tuning into the right station. Like I said, I'm stepping in right now. So don't change your radio station. You will hear Rob's beautiful voice here, hopefully in a few minutes, once he gets Skype up and working. I know on the line also with us is Greg Hammerhead. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing tonight, Mark?
Doing okay. I wasn't expecting to have to jump in and play, you know, a bad backcast.
Yep. So, I don't know, being that we're filling in for Rob, should we talk about some night fishing?
Definitely.
So, have you gotten out lately?
I unfortunately have not. I had to work all weekend.
Know what that's like. I was able to get out for a couple hours Sunday morning and caught some small bass and kept busy, but that was about it. But getting ready for my big vacation that we take every year and get to go fishing for 10 days. So
nice, man.
Getting ready for that one. Yep. Yeah, it helps when your dad has a nice place on a lake that you can go to and have willing babysitters and be able to go fishing and not worry about what the kids are doing every morning.
True, very true. So you'll be freshwater fishing, huh?
Yep, yeah, heading to a lake I grew up on, Lake George, New York.
Beautiful lake.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know, there's few lakes that can compare to it. And, you know, it's got, for a freshwater lake and having 30 to 40 feet of clarity, I've been able to watch smallmouth that I marked on my sonar at, 35 feet take a bait.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so beautiful lake, great smallmouth fishing, pretty good pike fishing, and I'm going to see if I can't jig up some lake trout this year.
Nice, man. Yeah, I know they did a pretty good job on restocking Lake George with the lake trout in the 90s.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job, killed the landlocked salmon in doing so, because the trout are devouring all the salmon now. But right now, I think the
40-plus inch trout there, man.
Yeah, right now I think the limit on lake trout is 2 or 3 inches bigger in Lake George than anywhere else in the state.
Yeah,
it's really good. So, got some tips from a friend on, where to jig, some patterns he found last summer, and actually picked up some small butterfly type jigs. But in the instead of being a 3 ounce butterfly jig that you'd use in the ocean, they're little like 1/2 ounce and 3/4 ounce versions of it. So
yeah.
I picked those up and, tried doing that on some light tackle for those big 30-plus inch trout.
Ooh. Oh.
Hey, check 1, 2, you got me?
We got you finally. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Bad Cat.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, I got the switchboard here. Yeah, I got the switchboard here, and it's like my Skype just keeps dying on me, and then it wants me to log in the host pin, and it won't work, and everything else. So I'm having all kinds of technical issues here, so please bear with me. So I'm calling in on my regular phone, so I can see all the stuff going on in the chat room, and everything's good now. I just can't use Skype. So I apologize, man. It just, you know, 15 seconds into my opening deal there, it just everything just kind of died. So we're bear along with me here, man. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. Well, we got a total, and I apologize for that. I did not plan on it. So I don't know exactly what's wrong. It's the third week in a row my Skype has just died on me in the middle of the show. So this time I had a lot bigger issues, and I don't know why. I can't figure it out. So anyway, we're here. We got the landing crew, Mark Wheeler from Virginia. He hosts the Wednesday night show. How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay.
Awesome. And let's see, we got Greg the Hammerhead, Chris from New Hampshire. How you doing, Greg?
Good. How you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for coming on. And I have from the Mosquito Lagoon, the always illustrious and always popular Redfish Chuck. How you doing, Chuck?
Going on.
All right, man. We're here. And I don't know what all you guys heard from my opening blurb there, but also, don't forget to check us out on our new website, kayakfishingradio.com. And you can check me out on my page today. And that is at badbatcast.com. Also, yakangler.com for all your ultimate kayak fishing resource. So check out all of that stuff. What's going on today? Let's see. Okay. Also, the Kayak Angler Choice Award. If you have not already, you can get a link on my website or on Yak Angler or on our Facebook page. Be sure to get in there and vote for your favorite kayak gear, kayak makers, kayak fisher people, anybody that you think deserves a nod, in your opinion, man. Get in there and nominate. We're still in the nomination period, and we probably will be till around August. So, make sure that you get in there and nominate for your favorites. And tonight, you have a chance to win. Win, win, win. Pay attention, everybody. You can win stuff. Tonight, we have you can win a trip with Redfish Chuck at the always popular Mosquito Lagoon. So definitely pay attention tonight, and I'll tell you how to do that. We were going to play Germany or Florida, but no Germany or Florida tonight because I couldn't really figure out a point system for it, man, and there wouldn't be enough time and all of that stuff. So, you know, all the good stuff there. Hey, we've got Greg Becker in here from Apollo Beach. How's it going, Greg?
Good evening, one and all.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
You're not at work? You're not at work still, are you?
Tonight, believe it or not, I am not at work, which is a good thing.
All right. Awesome. And did you get out fishing over the weekend?
Negative. Went up working Saturday all day, and then weather didn't cooperate on Sunday. So.
Yeah, it was a bad day on Sunday for sure. And area code 603, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio. Who is that?
That is me, Rob. It's Hammerhead.
Okay, I'm thinking. Okay, I see. I'm sorry. I got area code 304. You're on Kayak Fishing Radio. Hello.
It's Kayla.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
Great.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing good so far, man. Except for all the technical issues I'm having here, man. So everybody, bear with me. And so I'm back, and I'm here, and hopefully I don't have to worry about my BlackBerry crapping out on me. But what we're going to do here tonight, you can win a trip, and how we're going to do it is, at some course during the show tonight, I would like each and every one of you who is interested in winning that to go to my blog, and on the first article you run into about the rain factor, on that article, I'd like you to post a comment, and at the end of the show, I'm going to get the always dreaded random number generator, and we're going to type in all of the numbers in there, and we're going to randomly select. So there's no skill involved unless you can win the lottery or something, and then I want to talk to you after the show. So anyway, all right, man. Well, let's get to it here. Let's talk about fishing this week, man. For me, fishing was rough. I had a rough day Saturday. As you can read by that article that you guys are going to leave a comment on, everything was perfect conditions, man. We had some overcast skies and some rain coming in. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, and to this sound. Nope, wrong one. That one. That's right. That's what it was doing on 4:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, when I got up to get ready to go fishing. And my buddy Keith calls me and he says, Rob, what do you think? You know, it's raining here. And I said, well, I'll take a look at the radar, but let's go anyway, you know, unless it looks really bad. Well, looked at the radar, and luckily we had like a window of opportunity. You know, as far out into the Gulf of Mexico that the radar could see, it was clear coming in, you know, the storms were coming off the Gulf, and it was clear. So we had a, you know, everything to the south was real stormy and everything, and you looked up towards the north, you know, Palm Harbor and Dunedin area, and it was, you know, yeah, that's what it was doing, man. So we loaded up the stuff and headed out and got out on it, man, and the overcast skies kind of delayed the low light period for a while, which is great, and got some ladyfish going on some topwater action and caught a couple of keeper trout, and so everything was good. You know, white was the color of the day. Keith was using like a white and gold brush DOA Calshad, which was pretty good. And then we hit the mangrove islands, incoming tide, about 2 hours before incoming tide, and mangrove islands with the oysters all around them. And no redfish to be found. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like pulling my hair out. I'm like ready to have one of those days where you just want to throw your gear over the side of the kayak and, you know, put a cinder block in your kayak and paddle it out to deep water and, you know, give it the old heave-ho. But come to find out later that apparently the salinity was screwed up because of the rain that we've had all week. So the redfish, moved the redfish out. A lot of the fertilizer and everything was getting washed into the intercoastal, so they decided to go other places. And that was my story, man. And hey, at least if I have a bad day fishing, I'd like to know why. So, and I'm sure that all you guys are like that too. So anyway,
excuses.
What's that?
Excuses.
Yeah,
but if you need an excuse, always blame Mother Nature.
Exactly. And I don't know why I didn't think of that, man. It just didn't occur to me, you know. It wasn't like we had, you know, a week worth of rain, you know, all day long or anything like that. It's been raining off and on, but that's it, you know. But anyway, Hammerhead Greg, did you get out over the weekend?
I got out for a few hours on Sunday morning and caught a handful of small largemouth, but that was all I could
Did you get them on top?
Get out for. What was that?
Did you get them on top water?
One on a hula popper, and the rest were on suspending X-Wrap.
Oh, good deal, man. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
Love those.
Yeah, love that. Love those new suspending X wraps. They're pretty cool.
Awesome, Landing Crew. Did you get out, man?
Nah, dude. I had to work all weekend. It sucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess when you don't have time to fish, that always is a drag, man.
Yeah. So this whole weekend, wind was blowing out of the east, northeast, and blowing all the warm water in towards the Atlantic side. And also, when we have a northerly breeze like that, it blows everything out of the bay. So, you know, one of my favorite little honey holes off of Cape Henry, which is right off that little tip of Virginia, underneath the eastern shore there, just becomes a mecca of fish. And I was sitting at home, or sitting on an I-beam, looking over Cape Henry, of course, just going, oh, 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 oh. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, better luck to you this time, this week, and maybe we can get out there, get out there and get after it, man. Stop working so damn much.
Oh, I'm trying.
All right, now, the story of stories here, and it's going to take a little while, so I'm going to let Chuck tell you how his week of fishing was. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I was kind of like you, Rob. I had bad weather push in, and the kayak had to stay at home because we had really severe thunderstorms push through all morning and all afternoon on Saturday, and it just wasn't conducive for kayak fishing. The rain let off, but the wind didn't, and being in the middle of a port, it gets kind of rough when that wind's blowing. So I phoned a couple of my buddies, and we got a boat together, and took it out there in the port. I did something I've never done before, and I thought it was really cool, and it's going to make for a really good fishing reporter article for yakangler.com. We got to the first spot, and I think I told you guys my main target species was going to be mangrove snappers. Well, we get to the first spot, and I throw a shrimp in the water, and I don't know, maybe 5-10 seconds after it hits the water, I get a pretty decent hit. Lose that fish, he just comes unbuttoned. Well, the next cast in there, same exact spot, I hook a fish, he runs me down into the rocks and breaks me off. And I'm thinking, man, it's just not my day, right? Like, I've been off the water for too long, I don't have the mojo working. Take a deep breath, figure it out. So, kept fishing. My buddies had caught a couple other fish and in between, and I threw back in that same spot again where I just got broke off about 20 minutes earlier. And hook another fish. He feels like a decent one, so I get him cranking, coming to me. And I lift him up, put him in the boat. I go to grab him, and I felt a piece of line, like, draping over my arm, and I'm like, well, that's weird. I'm looking around at all the rods in the boat and making sure that, like, I'm not tangled with anybody. And it's the same fish that just broke me off 20 minutes earlier.
No kidding.
He's got my leader with my swivel with a little tiny stitch of my red braid that I use attached to the end of the swivel. So that thought that was pretty cool. That's awesome. So, what's that?
Must have been hungry.
Yeah, which is kind of strange for mangrove snappers. I mean, they're one of the smarter of the snapper species. That usually doesn't happen very often. So we proceeded to put a few more fish in the boat, and we moved spots. The next spot we get to, a buddy of mine standing on the back of the boat looks over towards a dock light and asks me if that's a triple tail floating on the surface. And I look, and sure enough, it was. So we nose the boat up closer to it where I can flip a shrimp to it. I flip the shrimp in there, and he eats it, runs me down, breaks me off on a pylon. Now, you wouldn't think that lightning could strike twice or luck could strike twice in one fishing trip. But we left that area for about 30 minutes, almost an hour, but probably closer to like 45 minutes, an hour, fished another location, and on the way back to the boat ramp, I just needed to swing by there to make sure that fish didn't pop back up again. And when we swung by that spot, there was a triple tail on the surface. Now, I didn't know it was the same one, so I threw him a shrimp. He ate the shrimp, and I went to set the hook Bill Dance style and pulled the shrimp, pulled the hook right out of his face. Right. And then I figured he was done. He swam down and went out of sight. Well, we're getting ready to pack up, and I look over the side of the boat, and about 2.5, maybe 3 feet below the surface, I see a little tiny shadow kind of moving, just barely pick it out. So I flip the shrimp in, and as soon as it hits the water, it comes up and blasts it. And short fight later, got a triple tail on the boat, and I pick him up, and I'm looking at him, and he's got my leader hanging out of his face. So we broke off two fish in one night, and caught both of those fish again. Both of those fish, by the way, were very tasty. They ended up becoming fish tacos. And I caught another small snook after that and a couple more mangroves. But it was a good day. Good trip.
Good deal, man. Yeah, you notice those...
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Rob again?
Yeah, I think we did.
Sorry, folks.
Chuck, did you break him off again?
Yeah, that's okay. Chuck, if you'll just hang around and talk for another minute, he'll probably come back and start talking to you again.
All right, no problem. I got it. So, I thought that was pretty cool, man. Like I said, I never broke off... I've never broken off fish and re-caught the fish before like that. Like, I've broken off on offshore species and re-caught the same fish, like dolphin, because they're just stupid. But I've never caught a mangrove after breaking one off, you know. I've never done that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay, I'm back.
I had that happen with a big rainbow trout up in the northeast that broke me off, and about half an hour later hooked it again and found my fly in its snout.
That's awesome.
But not two fish.
I had that happen.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sorry, I hung up on myself because people are emailing me and texting me and stuff, and I'm like trying to clear that stuff out so I can get to my comments, and I hung up on myself. So
it's all too complicated.
I apologize, man. Yeah, it's too hard. I'm doing too much stuff at the same time. But like I said before, I hung up on myself, and I apologize for that. See, I hate my show so much I hang up on myself. But anyway, you ever notice those mangrove snapper, man? You catch one or two or three or four, and all of a sudden they shut off. What's the deal with that?
Yeah.
You
know what, man? I'm thoroughly convinced that the mangrove snapper is the smartest of all the snapper species that we have here in Florida. I mean, you catch American red snappers, the arms fall off, and lane snappers are usually the first ones to eat on the reef, and vermilions as well. But man, mangroves are just—they're real smart. I've had nights where we caught, you know, 200 or 300 of them in an evening, between a boatload of guys, but. Then you go out the next trip and you might catch two. You know they're there. You just can't get them to eat. I don't know, man. It's definitely a challenging fish.
Yeah, man. And, you know, usually they're in a wad, you know, and I think that they start talking to themselves. And next thing you know, it's like, I can remember back in the day we found a wad of those things in, like, this backwater area. And they were around this old railroad trestle, right? And we couldn't get the boat in there past the, you know, through the, you know, underneath the railroad trestle with the pulling platform on it and everything. So you could only get, you had to drift them in, you know, like with a cork, you know. So you drift them in, and it would be like, you know, get to a certain point, and it would just get, you know, eaten. It was great. So we'd turn around and get back and, you know, we caught about four of them apiece, and then all of a sudden the bite shut off, and you could see them, you know, they were still there. So, you know, okay, we'll free line one back there, man, and they would run up to it and look at it, and I don't know, they would see the hook or something and say, no, thank you, sir. And I think they were telepathic or something, man. They were telling, their buddies were telling them, hey, don't be eating those shrimp, man. Anything but that. All right, man. So, Chuck, tell me about your trip, man. What are people looking forward to here when they win your trip here to the Goon?
Well, I'm going to leave it open. I'm going to let them kind of decide where they want to go. If they want to fish the lagoon, then we'll do that. If they want to fish the no motor zone, we can do that. If they want to go out and fish inside the port, we can do that. So it'll be, you know, whatever. It'll be a trip of their choice. How about that?
Awesome.
And like I said, I'll provide. If you don't want to tote the kayak with you, I'll provide a kayak. I'll provide rods and reels. I'll provide whatever you need. Just you know, show up.
Awesome. Well, the comments are rolling in, so if you're just tuning in and you want to win that trip with Redfish Chuck, go ahead and go to my blog. It's at abadbackcast.com. And leave a comment right there. Go to my blog. On that, there's an article, my latest article about the rain factor. Go ahead and leave a comment right there. I'll get in there. I'll approve it. And at the end of the show, we'll go in there and we'll use the random number generator. And if it's your lucky number, you'll win the trip with Chuck. You know, I'm sitting there trying to figure out all of this, you know, how we were going to do this with Germany or Florida. And I wasn't sure how many, you know, we all were going to get. You know, how many people we were going to have on here and how many rounds we could do and everything else. So it was just too complicated. You know, you're trying to cram something like that into an hour and a half show, and I just thought we'd run out of time. So we'll use that on another thing. But so, Kayla, tell me, did you get out fishing over the weekend?
I did.
Yeah, how did you do?
Mine was a lot like yours and Chuck's. It was very, very frustrating because looking at the weather on my phone, it's rain everywhere, and the water is up everywhere here. So I said Thursday I was planning on going muskie fishing, and the muskie fishing didn't happen because where they're at, the water's up, and they are an extremely smart fish, and they're almost impossible to catch on a good day. So muskie, yeah.
Okay.
So I took my fly rod and the bait caster, and I went out anyways, and I was just going to enjoy the day on the water and not get mad if I didn't catch anything. And I ended up catching a couple pretty nice crappie on the fly rod, so that made me feel a little bit better. And then out of nowhere, my pole was almost in the water. And I had hooked a muskie, right? I thought for sure it was a muskie. And I was yelling at my friend saying to get the net because it was huge. And then all of a sudden, this bass jumps out of the water, and its mouth was huge. And I was shaking so bad I didn't know if I was going to be able to get it on my boat or not. But
oh my God.
I ended up catching an 8-pound bass. And
well, that's awesome.
I know.
What did you get him on?
A crankbait.
Awesome.
One of the green ones with the tails on the end.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was the greatest day of my life, probably.
Well, that's pretty awesome. The landing crew is over there probably muting his phone, you know, like over in the corner or something. Because the one thing that the landing crew likes is to go after the bucket mouths there, man. So that's pretty awesome.
It was epic. Like, I mean, I've caught bass before. I've caught big bass before. But this was freaking insane. I have a bait caster. Which is what I used to catch muskie on. And my pole was seriously almost touching the water. I thought I was going to take off in the water. It's just going to drag me around somewhere. And then as soon as this thing came up out of the water and its mouth was open, like angels were singing.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Right?
Yeah. You got. Go ahead.
Yesterday, I woke up and it was storming. I had a tree fall down in my yard, and so I didn't get to go out yesterday. And today, my friends wanted to go rock climbing, and when
awesome.
We go rock climbing, it's supposed to be rock climbing only, and I had like a sick feeling in my stomach because I was thinking I knew where we were going rock climbing and I know there's a stream right there. It's right there, and if I don't take one of my rods, I'm going to be extremely upset when I get there. So I took the fly rod so it wouldn't be as noticeable, of course. And I put a trout magnet on my fly rod and ended up catching this little creek chub that I swear was not any bigger than the lure.
You ever get around some small largemouth bass, they'll eat, you know, they'll probably be about 4 or 5 inches long, and they'll try to eat your 6-inch lure, man. So that's
absolutely. Yeah.
They definitely have bigger eyes than their eyes are bigger than their stomach, man. And small spotted sea trout are like that too, man. So they definitely you get into some small spotted sea trout, and they'll hit it. You know, they'll be 4 or 5 inches long, and they'll hit a 6 or 7 inch lure too, man. So that's awesome, man. So your friends didn't object to you getting the fly rod out when you were supposed to be rock climbing?
Well, they run their mouth, of course, because I can't do anything without taking a rod. But I told them they could just go ahead up and get everything set up, and I promised by the time they were ready, I would be done. And I ended up catching that little itty-bitty thing, and then I caught a creek chub about the size of my hand. But on a fly rod, that's pretty exciting, and I wasn't even supposed to be fishing today, so can't really complain.
Well, do you have, like, a 5-weight or a 6-weight?
A 5-weight.
Fly rod? Oh, good.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Well, I'll tell you, if you ever do that down here, make sure you have, like, an 8 or a 9.
I have a 7 also, and I had a 9, and let one of my friends use it, and it came back, and the tip of it was broke off.
That's an easy fix. You could that's a fairly easy fix, yeah, Chuck?
Not really on a fly rod.
No?
If the tip top's actually broken off of the rod, like you've lost a few inches, then it definitely affects the action of the blank itself.
A foot? Holy moly, that's not good.
Yeah. He tried to, like, put it into his car, and it went up against the window and snapped it. And that was my birthday present.
Did you kick him?
I punched him.
I'm kidding. Hey, what? I'll tell you what, though. Don't toss it, though, because you put a tip on there, right?
Not.
Now, listen to me a second now, and Chuck's going to laugh at me, and everybody else out there is going to laugh at me. But what you do, and I've been toying with this, a lot of times I'll find redfish, but they'll stay just out of casting range. And what will my idea is this, and I've done it before, but you slap on you stick a spinning reel on your fly rod there. What do you got, about a 9-footer?
Mm-hmm.
9-foot fly rod, or, you know, before your buddy broke it, it was probably 9 foot. Now it's probably 8. But anyway,
right.
That's and you might have to play around with it, but, you know, as far as like the size of bait you can put on there, but, and I know the fly fishing people are just going to, you know, tell me it's sacrilege, but you just, you know, you slap a spinning reel on there and now you got a long range launcher. I started writing an article about it and haven't finished it yet, but, let me tell you, you'd be surprised the range that you can get from one of those. And like I said, you play around with what kind of lure you use with that, and you can really figure out, you know, the sweet spot where it's going to load, you know, on what size lure you can use. You know, maybe it might be a soft plastic or, you know, something like that. And you'd be surprised how far you can throw that, man. So you can definitely even the odds when they're out of casting range on a regular old, you know, spinning, you know, 7 foot or seven and a half foot or, you know, spinning rod. So you ever try that, Greg Becker?
I haven't tried it that way, but I know that there are a couple different rods, travel rods that used to be out there that I know Orvis sold one for a while back in the 80s and 90s, and I know a couple other companies made them that you could either put a fly rod on or fly reel on, or they made a kind of like a long extended fighting butt that would screw into the base of the fly rod and kind of turn it into a spinning reel. It was a multi-piece travel rod that they made that so you put a couple extra guides on it. The first guide wasn't quite as big as it would be for a spinning reel and was a little bigger than it would have been for a fly reel, but they made a combination reel, or a rod rather, that you could take and do either with. Seen them, never owned one, never cast one.
What's that?
Does it fold up? I've been looking into getting one for that purpose. Like, I can fold up.
It doesn't fold up, but they're multi-piece. These were generally 4 or 5-piece rods that, you know, they had ferrules in the center that you slide together.
I've seen one. I don't know the one that you're talking about, Greg, offhand, but I know that Crystal River makes one now. I had read some articles about that before. You know, people were talking about, you know, sticking a spinning reel and you know, how to put like an extension, you know, butt sort of handle on it and everything else, you know, for that very purpose, you know, longer range casting and stuff like that. But I know I was, you know, looking around on the internet and I found some, Crystal River makes a combo like that where it can be either, it comes with a little spinning reel and a little fly reel, and I think it's like a 6-weight, you know, outfit.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's only like $40. Now, I don't know the quality of the stuff. I've never tried one. I mean, my first fly rod was a Crystal River, you know. It wasn't the best thing in the world, but, you know, it works. But anyway, so, Chuck, you ever toyed around with anything like that? I mean, I know you probably think that's sacrilege because you build rods.
Yeah, no, man, I don't mess with that stuff. If I'm having a problem with getting closer to the fish, casting wise, I've got an 8-footer that I built that does the job, but it's horrible for hook setting. It's got no backbone whatsoever, but man, it can throw. It's basically just like throwing a fly rod, but you know, it's just, I mean, you got to pull it back over the top of your head and behind your back into the back end of the kayak to get the thing to pull the bend out of the rod. So, I know of a guy who he had an old fly rod, and he came into the shop and he wanted to get some guides for a spinning rod, and he did just that, Rob, but except he stripped it down and just basically converted his fly rod into a spinner rod just by placing different guides on it.
Yeah, see, I don't want to do that. I just want to, if I just to play around with, it's not something I would do, maybe take with me every single time out or something like that. But that happens a lot in the summertime, It's just weird to know your casting range. I don't know why. But they'll stay just outside of that, as far as you can, even if you're, putting a heavy plug on there or something like that to get a little bit more range, it's like they know where that is. So they must be pressured fish or something.
Well,
but,
when I do the competition casting, the guys from England and Spain, their 13-foot surf rods are almost like fly rods, where the reel is down at the butt, conventional reels. And, dude, you see these guys when they wind these things up. And we're talking to Roman. If you ever watch them, they're like discus in the Olympics, it looks the same way. They start off basically, with their back turned to where they're going to cast. And they start swinging this thing, and they're almost completely around before the tip even starts moving.
Wow.
That rod comes around, and they're using, 50-pound, 60-pound shock leader, because they're putting so much strain on the line. And they bring this thing around, and it sounds like a gun going off when that sucker takes off. I mean, it's just, it's incredible, man. You're watching these
guys sort of
blow
distance?
Up. And what's that?
What sort of distance?
300-plus feet, 400 feet.
Wow.
I mean, these guys are insane. And if you ever get a chance and you meet a competition caster or someone who surf casts, and knows what they're doing and knows the different techniques, pick their brains, because your casting ability will just go through the roof. And they'll fine tune, don't snap it here. Wait until it's here. And with this rod, you want to slow cast, or with this rod, put as much muscle as you can. It'll compensate for it. Just the science behind, the rod and the line and, the physics and everything. If you meet someone who's just like that, it's pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Really helped my casting.
Well, it's the same thing as, as fly casting. It's almost like a golf swing. And you definitely got to practice it. You can't expect to be, especially with like bonefish and things like that, you have to be accurate, like super accurate. And you got to practice, man. And there's all kinds of check out if you're interested in that sort of thing. Joan Wolf is like probably one of the best people I've ever seen teaching while casting. Check out one of her videos or get her look her up on YouTube, because man, that lady knows how to fly cast. So that's how I learned how to roll cast, is by watching her videos. Anyway, if you're interested, people out there and that are listening, if you're interested in going fishing with Redfish Chuck Levi, with Chuck's Kayak Adventures out of Mosquito Lagoon, or wherever you'd like to go out there in that general vicinity that Chuck knows, all you got to do is go to my blog, leave a comment on the Rain Factor article, and you will be entered to win. So you can go to my blog at abadbatcast.com and go ahead and do that. We probably got about around 20 minutes remaining before we actually do the drawing and everything. We might probably go a little bit over an hour tonight. But so, Mark, what do you got going on your show tomorrow night, man?
Well, I have a very, very special guest, co-founder and co-owner of KayakBassFishing.com, Hook One, Kayak Fishing Supplies, and Wilderness Systems Pro Staff Director, Mr. Chad Hoover, is going to be our special guest tomorrow on the All Sodium Free Show. So everything that is not sodium based will be going over. Bass, catfish, we're going to talk about that world record blue catfish caught off of Kerr Reservoir, the what was it, last week or the week before, which is right here in Virginia. I've seen a picture of this damn thing. It looks like a freaking mastodon. Just
so
amazing.
When and where is your show tomorrow?
Same place, same time, 8 o'clock, just on a Wednesday, for the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic Sodium Free Special Show. For all
right.
Those with high blood pressure.
that's my show. No. No, my blood pressure is good, man. Since I went vegetarian or semi-vegetarian since Christmas, I've done good. My blood pressure's down.
Yeah.
Calm.
Yeah, Kaylee, you're going to definitely want to tune in tomorrow.
Absolutely. I'm just writing all this down, and I wrote down sodium-free fishing show.
And it's the same phone number, too.
Yeah, if you get a chance, look for Chad's book, Kayak Bass Fishing. Real original, right? But it'll break down, you know, the whole bass fishing, you know, scene, and he breaks it down into, you know, different things, and, you know, it helped me. I mean, he's my bass fishing mentor, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so tomorrow's show is going to be really good. You're going to definitely want to tune in.
That's awesome. I've been going to the Hook One website since I started kayak fishing. I am so excited. That's awesome.
Good. So, yeah, tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Now they're ragging on me in the chat room about being vegetarian. Okay, I'm semi-vegetarian, and I do it for health reasons, not PETA reasons.
If you're supposed to be a vegetarian, God would have gave you four legs.
I like vegetarians, too. Deer, rabbits.
I'm an official member of PETA also. I'm a person that eats tasty animals.
People eating tasty animals, absolutely.
Okay. No, but I'm not. I don't do it for PETA reasons. I do it for health reasons. And you know, I love catching my sea kittens. And I'm good. I'm you know, definitely not an activist about it or anything like that. But if you see the film Forks Over Knives, which is a documentary. And I know all of you people probably don't watch documentaries and stuff. It's a very interesting concept, and it's a very, very interesting thing. It might save your life, so give it a shot. But anyway, I've dropped 30 pounds since Christmas, so it works for me. And I'm not like my teeth aren't falling out or anything like that yet, so I'm good. But I love wings. I love going next door to Mugs and getting some wings once in a while and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not a total, you know, nut job about it. But probably, you know, 99% of the time, I'm eating plant-based diet. So it's cool. Oh, there's Jeff Madre in the chat room.
Vegetarian.
In a way. you know, Hey, it's just my thing, man. I'm not trying to be activist and beat people over the head about it, man. But
if someone places a big steak in front of you, you're gonna eat it, right?
Probably, yeah. As long as you cook it right. But that's
medium,
cool.
Medium
rare.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
Jeff Madre's in the house, and he just sent me some. He says he sent me some specialty lure there from his area. And apparently he caught a gigantic Spanish mackerel the other day, and his wife caught something like a 48-inch redfish up there off the, what is that, the Eastern Shore. What do you call that area, Jeff, up there that you guys were fishing? It's right at the tip of my tongue. I can't remember it.
Outer Banks.
Outer Banks. There you go.
One of the upstairs.
Awesome. Yeah, those are definitely. So I'm looking forward to, and he's going to tell me about these lures, and we're going to give some away next week. So you want to tune in for those, definitely. And let me see. Once again, here's your chance. If you want to go fishing with Redfish Chuck, get in there. Leave a comment. I got the dashboard open so I can approve your comments. So get in there, and we'll see what we can do, and we'll get the random number generator going here at 9 o'clock and see who wins. So anyway, yeah, they've got a chat room full, man. Aaron's in there. Chip Gibson, the Thursday night host, the daddy of Kayak Fishing Radio, as it were. LGB is in there. The ghost, Tommy Ellis, the fine purveyor of fine handmade cedar lures. And
you know, he's got competition now, right?
I'm sorry?
LGB has a competition now.
Oh, really? What's going on with his?
Oh, I just picked up a wood lathe the other day, so once I get a chance, I'm going to start busting out plugs.
Scuba Stan was in there. I don't know where he went. The paddling fan is in there, and Jeff Madre's in there. Good deal, man. Yeah, okay, here it is. Jeff's wife caught a 6-pound, 8-ounce Spanish mackerel the other night.
Oh,
on one of these, I know, right?
Wow.
I always say that, man. You know, what are y'all putting in the water up there? In a 44-inch red drum. Wow.
That's a good night right there. He must have had the same wind that we did. Because we were catching, or they were catching Spanish mackerel off the piers and Kobe and King mackerel on gotcha plugs, which is unheard of up here.
Oh, and Kayla,
and I missed it.
Chip said to tell you that, and he, this is the second time he said mentioned it, and, you know, everybody was talking before, so I couldn't really talk about it. He put your stickers in the post today, so you should be getting those
nice.
Away.
Tell him I said thank you. I have been checking my mail every day as soon as they bring it to me, waiting for them.
Well, and Redfish Chuck has too. And I got to say, I apologize. And last week's winners, I got all of your prizes boxed up and ready to go. But every time I go to the post office, either on my lunch, because
Going.
Bueller.
Yeah, that's good. Hey guys, real quick.
While he was talking about sending the prizes out, I will say that as one of the prize winners from the first ever Bad Backcast giveaway, I did get the prizes in time to go fishing the following weekend. And one of the things that got sent out in that package was a Miralure Miradine that my son, Junior Fly Reel, wanted to throw a few times and kind of commandeered, since he said I obviously already had one in my little tackle box that's on the kayak. And on the third cast with it, picked up the only redfish of the day that was just
nice.
Over the slot. So, we were fishing for the pot that day, but it was just barely over 18, and we had agreed a long time ago that anything that's going to go in the boat and go back with us for the broiler is going to be at least a half inch over the bottom of the limit, because, you know, shrinkage happens, and the FWC rulers that's the Florida Wildlife Commission rulers might be a little different than mine, and I like to be, on the right side of the line. He wasn't happy about that. And he was even less happy that I lost about a 24, 25-inch trout right at the kayak on the other Miradine that I was fishing while he was fishing that one. I honestly thought he was going to push me out of the boat. But the stuff that the Bad Backcast sends along for the prize winners does actually get there. It does actually catch fish and does actually have some value other than the memory that you'll treasure forever of having won something on the Bad Backcast radio program. So hopefully that was enough cell time to let him get his phone dialed back in.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio just hates me. They hate all things Bad Backcast. And it was the FDA. They were listening, and or not the FDA, the what's the other people that approve the your anyway, it was the Dairy Farmers of America or something. So they heard me talking about vegetarianism and they pulled the plug. So anyway, I'm back, and again for like the third or fourth time, and I'm your intermittent host, as it were, tonight. And I apologize, man, for all of my technical issues, but we got about 4 minutes here till. Yeah, you okay, Chuck? Greg? Everybody's here?
Hey, yeah, Lenny Cruz, okay. That last drink kind of isn't settling.
All right, well, we're going to go around the room here and see who's fishing this weekend. So let me jump here. We'll start at the top. And I also heard a rumor that Chip was heading to saltwater this weekend, and I was just wondering if he was coming here. So let me know, Chip, so I can run the vacuum through the place. And you're more than welcome, you and the clone.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Right before you get into that link that was just posted up on the chat room there.
Yeah.
If you guys get a second, please click on that. That's a very, very important topic that you need to read over for our friends up in British Columbia. If you love fly fishing and ever desire to go up there and do any fly fishing in the sacred headwaters, that's something you're going to want to try and help them out with. It would appear that Shell is planning on doing some drilling up there for oil and so on and so forth, and it could potentially destroy that entire ecosystem they have going on up there. So it's kind of a call to action, if you will. Just put in your information, and that's all you got to do. They don't send out anything to you. I've done it. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things that just, I think it would help out the folks north of the border, if you will, trying to get some awareness done, drum up for that.
I have a question.
This environmental update has been brought to you by Redfish Chuck. Sorry. Hey, who? What were you going to say, Kayla?
I'm on my phone right now, and
yeah.
I can't see that link. So how do I get it?
I'll send
are
it
you
to
in
you.
The chat room at all?
No, I just called in on my phone. I've been at work.
I'll send
no.
it to you. My email works, so I'll send it to you.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to start with, I'm going to start with the landing crew here because he's at the top. And, Mark, you going fishing this weekend?
With any luck. It all depends on work. And if I do, I like to get my kids out onto the lake. I've got a buddy's boat I can commandeer. It's a little bass boat. And, you know, PFD the kids up. Remember, kids, folks, wear your PFDs. I think I've only said that like once or twice before. But, get them out there. I've got a spot on a local lake that always holds bass, and one of those things where I can hook them up with a little worm and toss it out, hand them the rod, and just let them slowly crank it in and, you know, wait, bing, bang, boom, hopefully we'll have a baby pachyderm. And, get my kids their first bucket mouth.
Awesome.
And of course, I'll be throwing frogs. Lots
cool.
of frogs.
Well, good luck to you, man. And don't forget to tune into the Landing Cruz show tomorrow. And he's on at 8 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. And
yes.
Kayla, you going fishing this weekend?
I will be out, of course, but I have a pond in my backyard, and
awesome.
I'll probably be doing the family thing as well, taking my daughter down. And I'm just on Father's Day, actually, figured out how to cast by herself. So I'm really excited to take her back out, because then she'll get the worm and all that by herself, and now she can cast by herself, so I can fish and she can fish and everybody's happy.
So it sounds like if she takes after her mom, she'll have her own TV show in about 6 months.
Hopefully.
There you go.
She caught her first fish on her second birthday.
No kidding.
Awesome.
Well, that's, you got to get them started early, man, because I'll tell you, I remember my, you know, some of my earliest memories are out fishing in an Ohio canal with my parents, you know, like fishing for bass. So I remember that, man. That's like one of my earliest memories. All right, well, good luck, man.
Too.
And get some pictures and let us know.
Absolutely.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, Chuck, you're next in line.
I'm taking the boy fishing for redfish. So that's the plan. That's it.
Awesome. Throwing him in the back tank well, and then there you go.
Now you can sit right between Daddy's legs and put him on a Mogan. Try and get him to catch like a 30 or 40 incher.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
be taller than
GoPro
he is, probably, right?
I got my GoPro camera all charged up, so if it happens, it'll be on video.
Good deal.
That's awesome.
All right. And Greg Crisp, are you fishing this weekend?
Oh yeah, I got 10 days worth
vacation,
of vacation that starts on
going?
Friday. So I got 10 days worth of fishing coming up. Going to Lake George, New York, lake I grew up on. So we're gonna have a blast fishing up there yet again. We go there every summer and catch a bunch of smallmouth. Probably chase some pike for a while and. Also going to try to jig up some lake trout this year.
Good deal, man. Well, good luck to you,
lake.
And happy 4th of July, and I hope that you guys knock them dead up there, man. Make sure you throw your pictures up on Yak Angler. Let us know how you're doing, if you can.
Oh, yeah. I got an internet connection and, you know, kicking back on the deck at night. I'll let you guys know how I'm doing.
This high-tech camping, man. Come on.
Oh, it's not camping. It's we got a cabin there. We got a good house.
That's not camping.
No, I never.
You don't need a cabin.
Camping.
You got that like gargantuan tent, man. You don't need a cabin. All right, man. Well, good luck, man. All right, Greg
Thanks.
Becker, you're the last in line as you know, one of my favorite. You know, you're the last in line. Oh, see how we shine. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So anyway.
I was
go
all set
ahead,
to give
Greg,
the rocked out weekend fishing report, but hit a little head banging and we'd be all set.
Gonna try
and get out a couple times actually. Once my wife has made pointed mention several times of the fact that Junior Fly Reel and I have been out of the bay many, many times and she has not. So trying to make arrangements to get her out in something. She's got a shoulder problem that if I try to put her in a kayak, it's got to be something small enough and light enough that when I have to tow it for the next hour and a half, it's not going to be that bad. So I'm trying to find that is absolutely not a denigrating comment about women in any way, shape, or form. It's just she's not going to be able to paddle. So I'm going to see if I can stir up a canoe or, heaven forbid, a stink pot to get out there and paddle around a little bit. And then probably hook up with Haywood and a few other folks on the morning of the 4th and throw Junior Fly Reel in the back of the boat. We'll go out and see what we can find floating around Tampa Bay, assuming that the group nemesis Mother Nature doesn't see fit to interfere again this weekend. But we're really looking forward to it. I haven't had a line in the water in a couple of weeks, and it's starting to irritate me. So Even though I do have a small freshwater pond right behind the house here, I've really growing accustomed to saltwater fishing, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah,
so I'll get back out there.
It's not quite the same thing, man.
Now, and the other thing that kind of intrigues me is that 2 weeks ago now, when my son and I were out on the water, I did have in an unexpected area, I had a juvenile tarpon roll about 75 feet away from me, kind of breach on the surface for a second, and got a pretty good look at it. And all I had on at the moment was a Zara spook, which it didn't have any interest in, which is probably in everybody's best interest that it didn't wasn't excited by that. But I'll absolutely have the right gear in play this time, at least in the boat and ready to grab. So that'd be
well,
fun to hook up on one of those in the yak. And
anybody on Yak Angler, speaking of tarpon, Rory O'Connor picked up a nice kayak tarpon out with shallow pockets the other day.
That was awesome. Set of pictures.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, you know, Steve's a pretty good photographer, and Rory is a pretty good fisherman, and he's, you know, that guy's always on good fish, man. So, and he's from Washington State, and I guess he vacations down here, or his family's down here and around Sarasota. So I'm supposed to I'm off on Friday, so I'm supposed to get together with him sometime over the weekend. And the tides are kind of bad this week for me, so it's looking at like definite dock fishing time for Rob this weekend. So I'll definitely get out there and see if I can tear up some dock light fish. And hopefully they'll be over whatever their problem was a month ago when I was having such a hard time with them. All right, man. Well, we're getting to the end of our hour, and the last thing that we need to do is, Kayla, you want in on the redfish chuck trip? Are you still there? Yeehaw. Let me double check. Nope, she's dropped off. Okay. Well, everybody on here has already looks like everybody's dropped a comment. So we're going to go to random number generator right here. And give me 1 second and I'll get this set up here. Some entertaining music for you. Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to have our winner. And go ahead and get some. That's right. It's the overly dramatic music. To crown our winner with the redfish chuck trip. And that would be here. The winning number. It's still calculating. I'm sorry. I'm still here, I promise. I need the like on Jeopardy. Yeah, I know. You'll never find another radio shop talk show host that's as much of an idiot as me.
Rob, we could just do this like Oprah. Everybody gets this trip. Everybody gets a trip.
Yeah, everybody gets a trip. That's right. No, actually, it is winning number is 2 out of 3 comments, and that would be the big fly reel was number 2.
Outstanding.
So, Greg, you and Chuck, you guys are Facebook friends or whatever. You guys get each other's information. And make sure you take your camera, and I want to see some good pictures, man.
Outstanding. So, thank you both very much. Looking forward to it.
No problem, man. Can't wait to finally get a chance to fish with you.
And let's see. So the winner – oh, come on. Work with me, computer. Sorry, nobody talks to their computer more than me. So anyway, the winner for the Redfish Chuck trip is Greg Becker from Apollo Beach. So go ahead, kids. Give it to him. Let's hear it. And anybody else, sorry, but you missed out. And I had that open the whole show, so yeah, you guys had plenty of opportunities. So congratulations, Greg, and thank you for playing Fish with Redfish Chuck on A Bad Bad Cast Live. All right, well, we're here at the end of our hour, and let me just do a quick run through the chat room here real quick. And then it's probably past everybody's bedtime. So we got, okay, anything else happening? Jeff Blodgett is heading out to Hatteras Island over the weekend. Awesome. Get on them fish at Cape Hatteras, Jeff. And I'm looking forward to seeing your lures that you're sending me, too. And thank you. So next week, tune in. And you can win some of these Jeff Madre North Carolina style. He didn't make them, but anyway, he's sending them up to us. So we'll have to get Jeff involved in the show next week, and we'll think up some sort of crazy stuff for people to do. Like, you know, we'll have like a tables, ladders, and chairs match, or a flaming tables match, or something. You know, so. Everybody's sitting there going, wow, he likes WWE too. Wow, what a dork. That's okay. All right, man. So everybody, good night, and good luck this weekend with all of your fishing excursions, and be safe. 4th of July weekend. Keep the Sweetwater at home. Sorry, Chip. And Chuck, Greg, and Mark, thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Check out all of the goings-on at badbadcast.com and yakangler.com. And tune in to the Isaac the Nothing Miller, the West Coast slot, coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Only here, right here on Blog Talk Radio and on the always dreaded kayakfishingradio.com. So until next week, I will see you all later. And take a kid fishing. And one more thing I wanted. Oh, yeah, don't forget to check out the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. And you can get that at either yakangler.com, my website, which is badbatcast.com, or kayakfishingradio.com. So anywhere you want to pick that up at, go ahead and get put your nominations in there for your favorite kayaking gear, favorite kayaking people. Except for us, don't vote for any of us or any of the Yak Angler folks. So until next week, we will see you later, and have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.